Can we start?
Cool.
Kick off afresh.
Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you that we have this time of fellowship and also this time of sharing. So we do pray for the passage, and we also do pray for the reading of this passage as well, Lord. We pray for us as a group and also as a as a church, as the word that you share with us, and also the word that we have this sharing on, Lord. We pray that we are able to grow together and be able to learn together as well, Lord. That in these passages that we're able to gauge in terms of what Paul was trying to say to Timothy, but also having that understanding and also that learning for the churches in general as well, Lord. We do remember the rest of the church as they gather together, as the individual Bible studies, but also the individual churches as they gather together for this weekend as well, Lord. That your will be done, and also your churches and your body is able to grow as well. Would you say in praying about it?
Right, so in terms of last week then, we did make a bit of a start in terms of 2 Timothy and also chapter 1. I think we did go through verses 1 to 6 roughly. So I think in terms of just a bit of a recap on the sharing that we heard from last week, a lot of it was largely around the background in terms of the reason why Paul has written this letter. In terms of 2 Timothy itself, I think we have a lot of good sharing in terms of the background on the first letter and the reason why Paul was writing Timothy then, but also more importantly for today's session in terms of why Paul also wrote the second letter as well, that the situation's very much different, that it was much more dire, and also it was much more different in terms of the situation with Paul being in jail, and also the situation with the church as well, and the persecution, the increase in persecution from the perspective from Romans at that time as well. So I think in terms of a lot of the sharing, it was a bit more like the understanding was that this was a very definitely a bit more of a personal letter from Paul to Timothy specifically. And but even in that regard, I think there's a view that it's not just a letter to Timothy per se, but it's also a letter for the church as well. So it's definitely something that we all can take something from together as we kind of read the rest of 2 Timothy as well. A few other points to probably take from it in terms of the sharing from last week as well. So there's a bit of sharing in terms of serving pure conscience, sorry, and also that devout faithfulness as well. And there was also that sharing about the taking a bit in terms of that generational faith and the people that surround us, and also that encouragement from the people around us as well, that we're able to continue stirring up in that gift of God, and also be able to continue that mantra as well. So I think I do understand that I probably cut off quite early from last week as well. So if there's anything that people want to share from last week or bring up from last week, feel free to do so. If not, then there's probably loads of opportunity anyway for during the rest of the chapter or the rest of today's Bible study. So I think today I'll probably go for a little bit of a hybrid between the verses 6 to 12, I think. So I think HC, if you're able to read for us, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure. 2 Timothy, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things, Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day.
Okay, see, so I guess this kind of continues from the introduction that we kind of had from last week as well. So generally, in terms of the passage here, we kind of read a bit more. Well, Paul kind of emphasizes in terms of, even though despite the dark, well, I guess like the difficult situation that the church is in, and also I guess the physical situation or the physical difficulties that are going around with the church, or whether it's with Paul himself as well, there is definitely that encouragement that Timothy should continue to do what God has given him to do despite all of this as well. The bit that we kind of read from like verses 8 onwards is kind of a bit of a follow on that, despite all of that, is not to have that, I guess, like that being ashamed in terms of the gospel, or to feel ashamed of like Paul's situation actually in general, that despite him being in jail and everything, even though it's like it doesn't seem the best position as a prisoner as well, that that all of this is for a reason and also for a purpose as well, in terms of all the suffering and also the difficulties that Paul deciding to continue sharing the word and also continue the path that he's gone forward with as well. So I think there's probably a few points we could probably take from there, from these few verses here. There's some points I definitely want to highlight, especially around I guess Paul's situation as well and what he's kind of been sharing with Peter. So I think maybe just to kick things off, I guess, verse 8 was a bit of an interesting one for me, where it says, share with me in the sufferings, where Paul kind of emphasizes that, Paul kind of says to Timothy that you should come and share with me, in the sufferings that, that everything like has gone on. And I guess like in a way, it's not just to Timothy, but also to the church as well. But I think it'll be interesting to see what people make out of in terms of that verse. And also their views as well.
I was surprised you didn't get HC to read on to verse 14, because actually for me verse 14 is a little bit of a summary of these verses which we've just read. So in verse 14 it says, "Guard through the Holy Spirit which dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." And the treasure which has been entrusted is the faith which is dwelling in Timothy, and which, if you read verse 5, has sort of been passed on and shared in that family. I think it's very precious, I suppose, in verse 5, where you can see that it's not just Timothy who's come to believe in the Lord, but actually it was first his grandmother, his father, and then also Timothy. And so you can see that for that whole entire family that they're following after the Lord, which is very precious. And throughout these verses which we've read, I think it's reminding Timothy of the faith which he has believed in and what God has sort of given to him and what God has entrusted to him, and the preciousness and importance of that, which is why I thought actually going on to verse 14 was important, because it's a little bit of a summary there. I think the impression which I get from these verses is that God hasn't just given us our faith, or God hasn't brought us to believe in him for no reason and without a reason, without a purpose. And it's not just we believe and that's it, but actually there's we're meant to do something with our faith, I suppose, is what I see from these. And the reason why we do something for our faith is because we realise or we recognise what the Lord has done for us and how he had to suffer for us in order to do that. And so where it then talks about joining Paul in the suffering is because we recognise that if you're really following after the Lord, it's not going to be an easy ride, because you know that there's always that spiritual battle which was shared on over the last few months. There's that spiritual battle, which means that you're you'll have some kind of suffering. In some ways, not as great as which, well, not as great as what the Lord had to do, but there's some suffering in that walk with him as well. Sorry, that was a very well structured.
I was reading this week when I was reading back 2 Timothy chapter 8. It says in verse 5 that God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of wise discretion. And just now, and earlier on, when Danny put out, bring out, talk about the background to the letter. And you know, it's a time when the church is persecuted. And during Nero time, things were very tough. I think sometimes I watch with Anna, Sorry Keepers, and you know you can see that in that time it was not an easy time for the church. And Paul, the leader or the one of the elders, is in prison. There's a lot of and Timothy could be low in spirit or willing, but here Paul reminded him that God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, not one of fear, but one of power and of love and of wise discretion. And I was just looking at this verse, power, love, and discretion. That is the spirit that God has given us. At a time like this, when there is much persecution or declension in the church, as we said, the church was not in a good state. But you know, to be reminded, to be lifted up again, what God has given us, the power, that power is not one of like the power that Nero has, you know, the authority. But this power is one of you look at Jesus and how his power brings out love and discretion. I don't know how to put it, but it gives a different picture of what the Lord has given us, and it's so needful at this time for them and even for us to have wise discretion, to know how to live before the Lord, to know, because it was not easy. And it is very much encouraging the Christians there not to be fearful or afraid, but to know what God has given us and to continue to stand firm in the faith that God has. That they have come to know and to continue to be established. That was verse 7. I think verse 8, it says, don't be ashamed of the testimony, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer even along with the glad tidings. It's part of the package that, you know, the standing up for the Lord and for the gospel. It is not, you do this, it doesn't happen that way, but it is along with the glad tidings. Reminding Timothy that, you know, the journey ahead may be tough, but to be reminded of why are we standing for this testimony? I mean, that we can share a lot more, but I'll just stop there.
I think Paul says, therefore, be not ashamed, and that follows on from that God has not given us spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and of wise discretion. And then we know that verse then comes. Therefore, be not ashamed. So I'm not sure that how should we be understanding this verse, be not ashamed, you know, the testimony of God. And this is of B, prison. I mean, if your father, as in this case, Timothy and Paul, if your father is being thrown into prison, because he has been apprehended for theft, robbery, or whatever, then it seems, we should be ashamed, of him. Now, but in this case, when we find, you know, of the testimony of the Lord and of me as a prisoner, why? That they have been treated as criminal. They have been subjected, you know, to all this. Not because, you know, they have been wrong or they have done anything that is wrong. Yeah, but in fact, even as we know of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, yeah, he died not because of anything that he's done wrong, because of us. Dennis, yeah. The example we gave about the student, he wrongly reported, who says that when he saw the scar marks reminded him of the Lord. The Lord was there not because of anything he has done wrong, not because of his sin, but because of me, because of that. You know, that being ashamed is, don't take it as if, you know, that we have been at some point, you know, at fault to deserve such, you know, that this persecution come, yeah, it's because that, you know, we have been doing something wrong to which, you know, you should be ashamed of us. To me, it's that sense that the shame is not just, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. I don't have anything to do with it. But it's knowing the fact that they are in this situation, yeah, for Paul, is because of the will of God, God's calling. For him, yeah, to be what, a teacher, what's it, an apostle, yeah, and a messenger for the gospel. It is for the gospel, yeah, that, you know, he's in the state that he's in. He's being persecuted, yeah, because of that, because of the will of God in doing God's will. So don't be ashamed. Don't think that, oh, there's anything, you know, that, they have done wrong, or, you know, whether it was the Lord, you know, who had done anything to deserve, you know, to be crucified, or for Paul to have done anything wrong, you know, to deserve, you know, imprisonment. And in fact, I think also pointing the fact that, you know, he knows his of his impending martyrdom, you know, the death of the Lord. His dying is no fault, you know, of theirs. So that, do not be ashamed that, yes, you know, that it's a sad thing that, you know, that the Lord hadn't died. It's a sad thing that Paul is going to be martyred. Yes, but don't be ashamed. It is not, as it were, that they are meeting their death because of some fault. But in fact, it is in the will of God. And when we think about that, that reflects, when you think of that, we can actually reflect on the first verse again, you know, that the testimony of the Lord, where we know that he's going to, you know, his cross and die and crucify. You know, don't be ashamed of me, a prisoner, that Paul is also facing that. But in the will of God, according to the promise of life. What a contrast that is. Yeah. Life that is in Christ Jesus. So we know that facing death, and yet to know that there is, it is according to life, the promise of life in Christ Jesus. This promise is God's guarantee that it couldn't be a great, and if Timothy probably sees what Paul is saying, that he should be well encouraged to know that, you know, that you should be taking your share of facing these situations and knowing, you know, how to to take your share of these situations. Not as, you know, as if, you know, someone who is apologetic, as it were, you know, to the gospel.
I think here, Paul mentioned about his suffering, and also he first said that, okay, be not ashamed of testimony of our Lord, and then about his experience regarding the suffering or persecution. I think this is reflecting what Jesus foretold the follower in the Gospels. I think Jesus already said that, or something like, you do not think I come to bring people to peace. He will cause some hatred between like the father and the son, the mother and the daughter, this sort of verses. He also says something like, oh, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. There are lots of verses in the Gospels that indicate that when we believe in the Lord, there will not be an easy way. But I think what is more important here is that, like Paul reminded Timothy in verse 6, that I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. So stir up the gift of God. I think that's very important, because sometimes we just forget about things like when our life is normal, there are no problems, no challenges, we just forget about what Jesus has mentioned regarding the affection of the gospel. So I think when we are in those situations, say we face persecution or maybe people hate us because we are Christian, that sort of situation, I think we need to be reminded that God's gift will bring us through. So I think last week Roxanne asked what is the gift of the Lord. I think just now we mentioned about the word spiritual battle. I think the gift of God is to deal with the spiritual battle, is for us to use those gifts to go through the hard time when we preach the gospel or when we become a believer and face persecution or bad things with respect to the belief. Also, I'm not sure if this is like I wouldn't say it's a cycle, but it's like a journey, because just now when Uncle Sunny asked about the word ashamed, it sort of just remind me how Peter, when Jesus was brought to the governor people, and then Peter was faced with the trial where people asked him, oh, you know this guy, so you must be a disciple of Jesus. So Peter fell 3 times. So after that, there's a turning point in Peter's journey with the Lord. So I think, was it Brother Simon who shared about the turning of Peter after he had experienced, or someone else shared about it? So it seems to me here, Timothy is also in a similar situation where he might be facing some downtime, or he was weak in spirit, but then through this sort of encouragement from Paul, hopefully that Timothy can bounce back and have a deeper walk with the Lord. I think for us, I don't know, every time in my perspective, every time when God gives me a lesson, I think God wants me to move on to another higher level after I've learned the lesson, but sometimes it may not be the case. I was sort of unlearning it. Because I felt that, I always remember Roxanne told me when I was a young believer, he said that, oh, now you are a young believer, whatever you ask from the Lord, he will provide and answer your prayer. It seems like after you have been with the Lord for a while, what Roxanne said indicated that when we ask the Lord, he cannot answer. So that's sort of different level of the walk. I think sometimes when we face challenges, and then once we get through it, get over it with the help of the Lord, then we can see it's His grace to keep us true. And also, I think He wants us to be more mature in Him and with the walk. So, more mature in the walk with Him as well.
It is the correct, I think it's the right statement, is that the Lord answers. He said, okay, the problem with us is that whether we like the answer or not. The Lord will not, unless, you know, we are sinning against God and God just keep quiet. But if we are genuinely asking God, that He will always answer. Like it says, yes, no, or wait. The thing is, you know, whether we like His answer or not. So, but as I said, that it is quite not sure how to put this across. The fact is that, you know, Paul is not just telling Timothy off. I think Timothy could well be very downcast with the prospect of, you know, knowing Paul, you know, his faith, yeah. And that the situation of the church is not all that encouraging with people leaving. And that persecution, you know, of the church is not getting any less. It's more. So in a way, you know, that there could be a great deal, you know. So piling on to, you know, Timothy, that he could feel very downcast about, you know, the whole matter in terms of whether serving the Lord, you know, God's calling, the will of God, you know, the gospel. Paul to say, Paul is not saying, oi, buckle up, pull up your socks. Paul says, remember. Okay. Yeah. That he's asking, Timothy says, I put thee in mind. Just asking him to recall. Remember, not basically to forget. And then it goes on to say that if you can really remember, you will not be ashamed of what's going on. Yeah. That you will also take your share, your part. And that, you know, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice or on it and so on. That's so much for going on. Not as one defeated. Even though, you know, the situation is hard. That spirit of cowardice, basically, you know, of fear, basically, God's not given us that, basically, you know, being one who is defeated, that spirit, you know, as of one being defeated. But where it says of power, it's not so that you can zap people. That is so that we can stand in such situations and not, you know, to and not have that spirit to quit. That power of God is God's enabling for us to stand in these circumstances, not having, you know, the spirit that to think of, basically, you know, of withdrawal, of spirit of defeat. But of power, basically, for us to be able to have that strength to stand and know the reason for our standing, is out of love. It is not just to show that, we can. It is that love and that wise discretion to see, be able to see very clearly, going through situations, going through, what God has purposed. That we find that it is for that purpose. We have been given that spirit for us to be. As Paul is prompting Timothy in just asking him, remember.
When Paul wrote this second Timothy, we share that he was in prison before he was executed. We don't know this directly. Paul didn't say, but in verse 8, he did mention that he was in prison. We do not know the exact condition of the dungeon, but we learn from other literature that the dungeons are filled with rats. And that bites and poison you. You can die from it. But it seems to me that it is very clear to me that in prison he wasn't thinking about how miserable the situation, the environment was. Rather, he was thinking about Timothy. We can learn from him in our very difficult situations. We serve the Lord and we fell into very difficult situations. Can people reach from us the depressing situation? It's in the dungeon. So when we read this letter, I don't think I sense this, oh, how terrible it is, oh, how dreadful it is, how miserable I am. It's not like that. I mean, we read, he thanked God in verse 3, I am thankful to God. So it's not like I'm very sorry for myself that I'm in this situation. That I'm thankful to God. I think this is something that will lift us up, will lift up Timothy as he read this, because there's nothing worse than you are feeling miserable and you read this letter, it's full of misery. And how can you share? There's nothing, no hope. But Paul is saying, I'm thankful to them. So it speaks a lot about his state of mind and his heart. I think we shared last time about the pure functions and all that. He's great in the prison, in the dungeon. There's no remorse, there's no regret, because he served with pure conscience before God, and he's thankful to God. I think this is really a test of one's service, whom I serve. It's really a test, a trial. God can put you into such difficulties. Not just because you want to serve God. with pure conscience. And God put you through this, and there is no return because he was going to be executed. I think it's, you know, this God's grace and his God's strength upon him in these dark hours. And also verse 2, he just said to Timothy, not only my beloved child, but grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, mercy, peace. If one who is in prison is full of murmur and full of with complaints, how would one say grace, mercy, peace from God to you, my child? It is very wonderful in such difficulties. The grace and mercy and peace of God flows from his heart. I mean, we can learn a lot practically, not just theoretically. So he's thankful to God, verse 2. Then he breaks off with whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, and then how unceasingly I have remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day. Okay. So it was thanksgiving in his heart he prayed for. He keep unceasingly, he prayed for Timothy. He said night and day. Certainly, I think it's wonderful. But it's night and day. In the dungeon, I think it's more darkness during the day. And when he is prayer, he remember Timothy's tears. I'm sure he also hid his tears for himself. He was crying as well. But he remembered Timothy's tears and he longed to see him. Longed to see him that I may be filled with joy. It's not the tears, but it's the joy. When you meet, when Paul met Timothy, he would be filled with joy, irregardless of the tears. Okay, so the whole thing is in all this remembering in praying for him. Then Paul, I don't know whether verse 5 is part of the prayer or I think it's part of that prayer, recalling, remembering him. Because he then thankful, as Darby Footnote said, he is thankful then calling to mind, verse 5. So it's if verse 2 and 3, 4. I mean, verse 2, 3 and 4. Or verse 3 and 4 are part of it, of his prayer. But then he's thankful to God, not so much of his service, but rather he's thankful to me. When he thought of Timothy, his son, calling to mind the unfeigned faith which has been, or in, or unfeigned faith in thee. And Darby has his footnote, has been, you know, his, the unfeigned faith which has been, and Darby put it that it's necessary for him to put down has been because he's very sure that from the very beginning his faith was not a pretensive one. It's a pure faith. Yeah. But pure faith can, and faith means without falsehood, isn't it? It's not so much pure. Unfeigned means, yes, it's got purity in it, but it's not a pretensive. So, and started with dwell first in your grandmother and your mother. I'm persuaded that indeed. So he was thankful for this, for his unfeigned faith, for the faith which was the same faith which was in his grandma and his mother. I think it's something very precious, because it's not great things, and you've done great things, you're so nice, and I'm so thankful. Rather, I think mentioning faith, which is put under trial, whether, you know, God always puts us into trial. We think that we have pure faith, but we still need to be put through trial fire. So this, yeah, so we share already to be kindled, that which has, Darby has his footnote, which is drooping. It's like in Hebrews. Tired arms and drooping arms and tired legs, yeah. To rekindle the gift of God. I think we definitely know it's a gift of God. It's not a gift of man, okay? And this gift of God, you have to rekindle it. Yeah. I don't think it's about prayer they're asking, but rather, if you serve the Lord, God has given you this gift of service, whatever it is. Don't let it, you are drooping, you're feeling, you're stopping, you're not serving, you're outwardly serving, but your spirit is very low. It's just like fulfilling a duty. That's how we need to rekindle. I think Darby has put some comments on this rekindling. It's putting energy back. Putting energy back. Not when we just feel tired and worn out. And God wants us to put the energy back from Him. I think I've shared enough. I let others have a chance to share.
I think very much in the sharing. Perhaps verse 8 feels like a reminder of what happened with Peter. I think I agree that it's definitely an example that kind of springs to mind. And I think for Timothy and other Christians at the time, we know that if you're associated with being Christians, particularly if you're in Rome in that area or anywhere in the Roman Empire, then it was something which could be very dangerous, and then being associated with a prisoner also very difficult, because you're sort of ostracized for their crimes, and it's not always just an individual crime, sometimes it's spread and by association to their families or to their friends. And so I think it could be very easy to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or to try and naturally just to avoid court because you're just trying to stay out of trouble. But the suffering for the gospel, in verse 12, you can see how Paul says that I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. And I think this is a very famous verse, which we know, and actually which we sing as well because of the hymn. And if I think the reminder here is for Timothy to know who the Lord is to him. So where it talks about all of that
rekindling the gift which God has laid upon you, or reminding him of the faith which first dwelt with his grandmother, or in verse 14 where it's talking about the treasure which has been entrusted to us, is to remind Timothy who is the Lord and what is he to you, and similarly for us today, who is the Lord and what is he to us. And if we have that understanding of what the Lord is and what the Lord has done, actually you realise that it is worthy to suffer for him and to go through all of these difficulties in the same way which Paul has gone through them, or that Timothy might have to go through them if he's recognised as a Christian, or if he is doing things for the Lord. And so I think that's a really good reminder, not just for Timothy then, but for us now. And there's a reminder as well in terms of that even if you have suffering in this life or nowadays, actually, where Paul at the end of verse 12 talks about where he being the Lord, is able to guard what I've entrusted to him. So what Paul has entrusted to the Lord, he knows that there is something which is bigger and more important than just the things in this earth. So I agree as well with what Sister said, that Paul probably knew that he was coming to the end of his life. But actually he's able to see that there's something beyond what sits on this earth, and the suffering here is only temporary. And I think, there's a lot of things which are, well, I was going to say they're easy to write. They're probably not even easy to write, but there are a lot of things which are very hard to fully experience and understand as a Christian, because we really need to live that out in ourselves. And again, I'm not sure I've explained that very well, but I think it's sort of like following on from what Kim was saying, where actually, as you grow and you mature in the Lord, that actually he uses that as an opportunity to refine you. Those difficulties are not there just because God's torturing you and wants to see what happens, but actually because it's that refinement for the Lord.
When I kind of read these things, hearing, sharing, it's kind of in many ways to me, kind of this kind of the these are the people who walk faithfully before us, and it's like this is their testimony. It's kind of sort of an example and encouragement to us, and also at the same time reminding us that this journey, the Lord has made it clear, like Kim's not share right at the start, said this journey, that if you have decided to walk on it, it will not be easy. And we will find that again later on in chapter 3, in talking about those who desire to live a godly life, it will suffer persecution. So, you know, the deal is already making clear before you sign that contract, and look, this is black and white. And so when I think of these two, I mean, I definitely agree with Jason. I could not, you know, imagine, you know, what the heck to go through. You know, as David mentioned about Nero and Rome at the time. I don't do history, so I only heard bits and pieces, so you can tell me if I get it right. But what I understand at the time, apparently Nero kind of hates Rome as a city because of the architecture or whatever you call the city layout. And obviously he can't just go clear all out, build a new city the way I want it. So he's kind of find an excuse in it, i.e. set fire to the building and lay the blame on Christians. And because Christians at the time mostly are, like John said, the lower class citizens and as such, so it's easy to just put it on them and say, look, they are the one who set the city fire. So I suppose if we were Christian at the time, it must be horrible. You know, like, I didn't do it. And now I've paid my life for it because somebody wanted a grander city as such. So it's hard to imagine what they had to endure. I think for us to read today, to share, in a comfortable environment like this, it's not difficult at all. And that kind of leads me on to kind of people who are near our time slightly, i.e. that we hear quite a bit about sharing about those brothers in China and brothers in, you know, 20 odd years in prison. And, you know, how you say, you know, I'd rather be in prison to be with the law. And I think it's what Min Dao, isn't it? Well, correct me if I'm wrong. He lied to get out of jail, is that right? And then he regretted kind of thing. And then went back in, isn't it? Is that so right? That's correct, quite. Something like that, isn't it? And then there's only Brother Wong, which we, you know, many of us know him, and the man and all that. And how he came out of prison after, what, 2 or 3 years? And the mother was very happy, but he said, I'm not worthy to suffer below. So all these kind of examples, you know, like, of these Christians, of these brothers, who, for the Lord's sake, they have to endure all that, you know, suffering. I mean, it's, for us, we can only imagine what they had to go through, what they went through. But yeah, the one thing essential to all of these people, it is God, isn't it? That how they were willing to go through all that, to suffer for the sake of the gospel, we say. And kind of leading me to think about, what about us today? Sometimes you could say I'm kind of foolish, probably I am. That back in the day, like those brothers in China, for example, some of it may be easier, isn't it? Because it's kind of so clear cut. If you're a Christian, you go to prison. That's it, isn't it? In a way. I know it sounds very easy to say. But for us today, in some way, when I say that those kind of brothers, let's say in China, I mean, actually there are others, other parts of the world that we kind of probably know nothing or a lot less. So that's kind of that kind of, like, quite physical form to okay, you're a Christian, you go to prison. But today, you know, the thing that we are kind of encountering is subtly high. It's not like physical. It's more like making a choice, and it's like make me think of, I think for us who work, you know what it is like, the pressure of work, and it is kind of consuming you know. I mean, I'm going through right now that it seems that you have 24 hours a day. That's still not enough. There's still more to do. And then, what about what God wants you to be, to live? That kind of made me think, you know, even just a simple thing. I think Uncle Simon shared with us. I can't remember what it is, in our house or somewhere else. But anyway, he talked about something really practical, i.e., going to meetings to be on time and all that kind of thing. And so often, so easy, because we are busy, and, oh yeah, we need to do this. And therefore, we neglect that, say, okay, yeah, we can be late for church meeting. And it sounds very small, but to me, that's kind of quick thing come to mind that today, you know, that not so much of persecution as such, but come to kind of our life, our living, and making a choice for the things of God, or, you know, what the Lord wants us to do, if I put it lightly like that. And I should have many things we can think of in it, you know, that we encounter today. I suppose, I mean, to me, quite obviously one thing is today is like everything just like demanding your time. And it's not those brothers back in the day in China. They got more time than us. I'm sure they are the same kind of people, they were the same. But it's how they make a stand for the Lord. They're willing to say, okay, it is for him because he saved me. I mean, we realize, like, you know, God has planned this, you know, from the ages past. So I suppose, like what King said, I mean, every generation, we've had to go through our own journey with the Lord. It is our kind of choice in it we make. And then later we read, you know, that is that kind of price waiting for us. And so easy, I think, even right now for me, we lose sight of that. You know, we are so drowned in, you know, the current situation, current world that we're living in, and we've forgotten that there is a higher calling that the Lord has called us. the vice may be clear to us right at the start that, you know, this journey will not be easy. But, like, you know, and Sunny Shen, you know, that prayer that we have, if we are genuine, the Lord will answer, you know, whether, you know, yes, no way, and all that. But it's to be reminded when I kind of read this chapter again.
I just want to, you guys, because we're not going to be here next week, so I just want to say just a little bit. I find it's true that we, Paul here is exalting Timothy and also the church about what things are like at the time. But I just can't, inside me, there's these few verses in between, the nine verses 9 to 12. That is the basis. Paul has now come nearly to the end of his life, but his vision over how he is met with the Lord and his very clear calling of the Lord has not, he has not lost that. He is still very clear in his mind and very much the thing that governs him. And because it verse 8 to 12 is one sentence. And it's very much where he's exhorting Timothy, you know, don't be afraid, not afraid, don't be ashamed, and be happy to suffer evil along the glad tidings. But it's, then he go on to what exactly, how do you have this power? How can you make that stand? It is very much back again to the day when he recalled that he brought, that we said there's a lot of calling back to mind, and of how this salvation came to him, and of this calling that he has been called, this holy calling, it says here, not according to works, but according to his own purpose. I mean, he sees God's purpose, and this purpose of the Lord very much governed his action, his life. And it is very much, this is still to this very end of his life, it is still very much dominating and governing the way he lives before, the way he's living now. And he recalled back how this gospel, how this purpose of God is being revealed when manifested, it says, when Jesus came. When Jesus came, he has announced death. And he has brought to light life and incorruptibility by the glad tidings, to which I'm appointed a herald, an apostle, a teacher. And this is the thing that is the flame in his heart, that is on fire. And even to the very last days, it is very much governing him in everything he's doing. And it's so much for us today. You know, we say, okay, we need to be, but we need to see our calling. We need to see, look back and recall how we are saved and for what purpose we are saved. And only then that Paul's exhortation here can move us or can set us forward and set us to stand, to be able to stand firm in this last days. There is encouragement, yes, from Paul, but there's a need of a seeing and hearing that calling to know to what we are living for. It is not enough just to see Paul's calling, but we have to see for ourselves our calling and our purpose. And that's why in verse 12 he says, I know whom I'm not ashamed. He started first. He says, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Persuaded that he will keep. It is that he's not ashamed and he know. And then the deposit here, the verse 12 and verse 14, it's two different things. Because verse 12, you are giving back, you're giving to the Lord a deposit. But verse 14 is what has been given to you, that deposit. I think, maybe you will talk about it next week, but it's just, what I really want to bring out is we can only be exalted to make a stand if we see clearly and we hear clearly what is God speaking to us about purpose. Sorry. I just want to follow up you. This, you just mentioned the difference between what he has given to me, entrusted me, and what I have entrusted to him. In the footnote in Chinese, in verse 12, it's also, it can say that what he has entrusted to me. So the idea is not a confusing thing. Then who is, what is really, whether I have committed him or he has committed us. I think you may know sometimes this is like an exchange. Yeah. I don't know how to put it, but they exchange it like you know the Lord so well, and he knows you, that you are trustworthy. He entrusts you. But you also know him so well that you want to entrust that back to him. Yeah. So it's, there's a word for it which I cannot think of. Not interchangeable, but how to, you know, something like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there is more to this, in this, with regards to this word of God. Yeah. Verse 13, this deposit. It says that we have to use it in Christ. Use it, with faith and love. And to keep it. So Paul is not saying, have an outline of God's word, you know all the doctrine, you know, well versed. Rather, when you have this, are you having it with faith and love? Or you just have it, that's all. So love, faith and love is what it is, how you relate it to this deposit, isn't it? How you related to it. Are you detached from it? There's no love, no faith in you. And then verse 14, there's another aspect, is to keep his word. We cannot keep it. Paul said we cannot keep it by ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit in us who help us to keep this firmly in everything. So I just want to come back to verse 7. This spirit of God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. So we know what is not cowardice. There is power, love, and discretion. Darby has a footnote about the discretion, I think, which is very good to share with you. Yeah. Is the discretion, wise discretion, verse 7. It was very good. So when we think of bravery, you know, I must be brave. You know, I'm very coward at the moment. Now, there is something which we need to learn. This power is not the power in us, but it's the power of his resurrection, mentioned later, his life. Yes, we are with our power. How do we have power? We have no, this is not the power that we want, the earthly power of ourselves. Love, we all know that. Wise discretion. Darby has a footnote which is very good with regards to bravery, you know, not being a coward. That is, you have a quiet, sound, and sober mind, heart, or something like that. I think it's so important. How much bravery turns out to be the work of the flesh? How much bravery is not of love? How much bravery doesn't come from a sober, a quiet, sound, and sober mind? I think in difficult situations we need all these three. But then God gives us the spirit of a quiet. It's not just talking to this one, talking to them, how I'm going to do, what I'm going to do. But quiet, a sound that is to give you an understanding in your mind. It's not confused. Sober means that you know where you are. You don't over exaggerate. You know, your quietness and soberness that is with discretion. I think it's so wonderful. This is how we need to learn when we cope with a very, very difficult situation with regards to the church. You know, you and I serve together. Often, we hide behind the spirit of cowardice and not hide behind the spirit of power and wise discretion. Finish now.
Don't have a lot of time. Try to shorten it, but I felt that last time we emphasized a lot on why Paul will write all this, but and this time I think we touch on more on what Timothy is facing, and I really say amen to brother and sister. What he was facing wasn't easy. Not just not easy, but at that time, it's great tribulation. Nero, King Nero, just now mentioned about, burning Rome and blaming on Christian wrongly, okay? And not only just that, the persecution is like, he's mad. He was mad, actually, this king. He used Christians, burned them, and then just line up, in the garden, and then just be the torch. And you can imagine what kind of the fear at that time Christian was going to face. And not only just externally, it is, the persecutions from Nero, King Nero, but, the persecution of the church. Remember, before 1 Timothy, people challenge him, and Paul actually reminds him that, he has to stand firm and he has the authority from God and all this. It's not actually only externally, but, internally. And just now, I think brother and sister mentioned about Paul. Paul is supposed to be the father, spiritual father, and also the one that actually raised him up, tried to, just bring him, to the Lord. And when Timothy saw what Paul is going through, in men's eyes, definitely, no good. But like what, brother and sister mentioned, it's because of God that, he was doing it, and he chose God. That's why he had suffering. And I think, just now, brother and sister mentioned a lot of times that, we have to know our purpose. And I was thinking of when we were very downcast, it is very important for us to know God is still there. I remember recently, last year, my mind wasn't very there was one instance. My mind wasn't very sound at that time. And I was kind of thinking of whether I actually come to that sharing meeting or not. And chose God. I think no matter how difficult at the time, put God first, chose God, and come to the meeting. And I still remember at the beginning, I still quite busy, not really knowing a lot. But when there was a brother mentioned about Elijah, how Elijah was chased by Jezebel, and he was very fear at that time. But God actually asked him twice, what are you doing here? And it was at that time that, it's kind of like the light from the Lord. And just reminded me that, what are you doing here? And, well, anyway, you know, that was the time that, you know, I was kind of enlightened and I was kind of sober, you know, learn to sober up and, you know, just, you know, back to the Lord. At that time, it's not only just my own personal problems, and it is because of, you know, the church. You know, a lot of the brothers and sisters, well, some of the brothers and sisters, they are serving, and, you know, they were in great tribulation as well because of, you know, family, you know, the very close family member, are very sick. And they were one after another taken away from the church, you know, for a period of time. And a lot of these things happened at that time that actually reminded me, like what, you know, Brother mentioned just now, that the spiritual battle is very severe. Maybe in the past, you know, in that time, it is like, you know, persecution from the king. But now, Brother say it's subtle. But, you know, I think we have other form of the persecution that now that we are facing. And I mean, very soon, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters will not be around. And, you know, there's something that we really have to sober up and then knowing, you know, our part. And all this, it is, you know, reminded me that, you know, Peter, when he was walking on the sea, and, you know, the other side is Jesus. And whenever his eyes, you know, are on the wave, which is difficulty, he fell. He nearly fell on the water. But whenever his eyes focus on Jesus, you know, and knowing that, you know, Jesus is on the other side, and then he has to focus. And if he heard what Jesus said, you know, and then he just focused on Jesus, and then he got up again, and then he can walk. And I think, you know, for us, it is really the same. We might actually, you know, facing the same thing. We are not actually, you know, focus our eyes on the difficulties around us. We have to learn, you know, every day that we have to look at Jesus and just, you know, really focus on Jesus, and especially on the time that, in the time that, which is, you know, very, very difficult for us and also for brothers and sisters. And in here, probably, I heard brothers and sisters mention about, verse, you know, 6 to 14, not only just 12, that, you know, for verse, well, yes, remind us about the purpose of our calling. It is important. And I think that's why, you know, just now I mentioned about, you know, what I recently, you know, experienced. I think verse 10, it says, verse 10 onwards is, you know, it says that, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is Jesus be able to do it. I mean, we cannot do it. We cannot do it at all. But it is Jesus. Jesus has done it. Jesus has, you know, this the victory. And in verse 12, and we know that, you know, it is the Lord's protection and it's the Lord's victory. So on the other, well, just now mentioned about, you know, the verses from, you know, from 10 to 12 are a little bit different from, you know, verse 13 to 14. I say amen to that, definitely. Because, you know, from verse 10 to 12, it reminds us who can do it. You know, it's only Jesus can do it. It's only, you know, our God can do it. And, you know, it's only Him be able to protect. But from 13 to 14, it is back to us. You know, just now, brother and sister mentioned about deposit. You know, it's something that, you know, come back to us now. We have to choose. We have to, you know, even so at this time of, you know, very difficult moment, we still have to choose. We have to say, yes, you know, I have to choose back to God. I have to choose what God asked me to do. I have to, you know, I have to stand firm. but not because of I can, but because of, you know, the Lord has already had the victory. And, you know, if we choose to, you know, stand beside him and, you know, stand with him, and he will do the rest. And, you know, I think, you know, yes, don't forget the purpose, and also, you know, not forgive for sorry, not giving up that, you know, to be with him and let him to be with you. And I think, you know, that when we are having difficulties, I guess, you know, there's something that, you know, my our eyes, you know, still focus on him. It's very important.
So before we end, I suppose soon. This call, this just now, LG and also Pauline mentioned about this calling. I think Paul is trying to say what this gospel is first. He was appointed preacher, apostle, and teacher. To this gospel. So we need to know what this gospel is. So Paul is saying, what is this gospel? Yeah, from verse, six, I suppose, 9 to 11. So his own calling, he said, is in verse, 11. And also this is, he also mentioned this in 1 Timothy, if I can find it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. The same, yes. So his own calling, God has appointed him. And to preach this gospel, but he makes sure that we understand what this gospel is. Is this what he mentioned? This, that he has announced death by his incorruptible life and his resurrection. And this is the grace of God. He brought him into the grace, brought us into the grace of God. It's not what we can do to save ourselves. Yeah, it is, with regards to the gospel, that is Jesus Christ. Paul has mentioned it in Romans 1. Chapter 1, 1 and 2. I don't think we got time to read it. It is his son. You know, in simple terms, this gospel is his son. So Darby has a footnote about this gospel. He said Paul often personified this glad tidings. Yeah. So he meant that who is this glad tidings? Personifying who? Yeah, is the Lord. Yeah. So, I think that's something that we need to bear in mind when we preach the glad tidings or the gospel meetings. We preach the gospel. We know what we're preaching. And who this gospel, glad tidings, what does it personify? Who? So finally, I think what we shared about, I know whom. I think Paul made the point, I know whom, and not, I know all the doctrines or the Bible, but I know this person, Jesus, I know whom, I believe, and I'm persuaded, and, you know, not just believe it, but further on, you know, more relationship, I'm persuaded, I've been convinced, yeah, so, it's important to know what Paul is not saying. Study the word of God, have all the doctrines laid aside clearly before you. Of course that is important. But to go through difficulties and suffer and to be the sufferer of the Lord, not ashamed of him. I know him. I know him. I know him. I know Jesus. The Jesus I believe. That is sufficient for him to go into the under the salt.
Right, thanks all. So I think we did gauge on it quite nicely, actually, in terms of the general sharing and everything. And I think there's a lot I definitely agree with in terms of the bit about Paul's emphasis here. There's probably a little bit I probably want to just quickly add on before we kind of just close things off. I guess like everyone's like appreciation in terms of these verses here is that there is a bit of a encouragement, but I also do like that it's not really just encouragement, and that is actually just a bit of, actually it's Paul reminding Timothy in terms of why they're doing what they're doing it for. And I guess like that's what everyone was sharing later actually towards the end of the study in terms of that the testimony of the gospel and the reason why they are doing it. And I guess that's very strong in terms of the reasoning why we should be doing what we're doing. There's a few bits in terms of like, I guess like everyone's like, it's definitely an uptake in terms of our gifts and also the reason why we're doing suffering. There's probably a bit of an emphasis that everyone's journey is going to be different from each other. I don't think it's going to be a time, maybe like, you know, that like then when everyone's going to be, well, I don't know, but everyone's like going through different, like quite different, you know, circumstances and also different difficulties. So back then it was, Rob Wong's time, it was, you know, the persecution in China, and also like today it's very different. And I think like after listening to like, some people's like personal sharing as well, everyone's testimony is quite different as well, or their own, like how they kind of carry that cross is also quite different as well. The bit about sharing, so I guess like, I do wonder if it's not just about just making sure we carry our own cross, but it's how we also remember that everyone else is also carrying the cross as well. And that there's probably that emphasis that I don't think Paul is saying that this is my journey, that's it. But I also do think that Paul's journey is still ongoing at that time. And it's more of an emphasis, like, maybe to that come share the journey with me, per se. So, I mean, in that way, I was kind of thinking, like, was Paul asking for prayer? Was Paul asking for something? But it's a case of, like, how do we kind of just, not just, you know, it's not we're just carrying on our individual journeys ourselves, but it's a case of like we're carrying on this journey to the church as opposed to just individuals. So I'll probably just finishing, well, probably just pausing there. I think there's definitely a lot that we want to share on afterwards in regards to about what we find in this as well. Uncle Sunny, you'll finish the prayer for us, and that's okay.